Hare Krishna. Before continue on symptoms of Kali Yuga, just a little food for thought, which is something that I recommended here in New Rajadam to the mothers, but at the same time, it's something that all devotees could practice. No, it's not some kind of new sadhana or chanting 32 rounds, but it's this part of my medication or treatment after leaving the hospital in Coimbatore was that before my morning bath, I'm supposed to rub a certain type of oil on my body and another one on my head and let it sink in for 30 minutes. The oil on the body is heated. And in the beginning, I wasn't very much in favor of it, but I've really gotten to like it, especially the warm oil on the body. And then I remembered that Srila Prabhupada also did a similar thing, and that in Bengal and other parts of India, it's very much customary for parents to rub mustard oil or even other medicated oils into their children's body. Right now I'm at New Rajadam, and I didn't bring my medicated oils with me because I didn't want to risk spilling them and traveling. So here I'm just using warm mustard oil, and it's really, really wonderful. It heats the body, it lubricates the body, it's soaks in not only from the skin and into the rest of the body, but right to the bones. It helps prevent colds, and a very, very healthy thing. So, as I said, a little food for thought from Dr. Shivaram. And now, on to symptoms of Kali Yuga. Shukadev Goswami says, Anadya Taeva Shadutve Shadutve Dambaheva Tu Svikara eva chodatve snanam eva prasadanam. Anyway, that's what he said yesterday. And I'm a bit sleepy. I didn't sleep much at night. So today's verse is Dure varyayanam tirtam lavanyam keshadharanam udaram bharata swarta satyatve darshanam evati daksham kutumbavaranam yashorta dharma sevanam. A sacred place, here are six symptoms now. A sacred place will be taken to consist of no more than a reservoir of water located at a distance, and beauty will be thought to depend on one's hairstyle. Filling the belly will become the goal of life, and one who is audacious will be accepted as truthful. He who can maintain a family will be regarded as an expert man, and the principles of religion will be observed only for the sake of reputation. Sacred place is a reservoir of water at a distance. We know well that what is the real substance of a sacred place, what really makes a sacred place? The holy men who live there. Srila Prabhupada so many times emphasized that. Yageshu, Atirteshu, Saiva, Gokara. Otherwise, so many animals are also living in sacred places. How much spiritual advancement are they making? Some. They make some by living there. But certainly they're not aware of the truths of the Dhan, neither of how to actually take advantage of the benefits of living there, which can be made possible by association with great souls. So often we hear people, I'm going on Chardham Parikrama, I'm going to Badrinath, I'm going to here, I'm going to there, I'm going to Vrindavan. And then going to the Dhan means, oh, I have to go to around, see many, many places, but I avoid or don't search out the sadhus who can really show me the Dham, who can give me the eyes by which to actually see the Dham. And of course, interestingly enough, here, although Bhagavatam's talking about the reservoirs of water, but we see that the reservoirs of water themselves are also not so nice anymore. We see the kunds, the ghats falling apart, the kunds dry, surrounded by rubbish, and the nice buildings and pavilions that used to decorate them all falling into disrepair, the deities being neglected. So it's not even that people can so easily or so readily bathe in the water. And how much have we heard recently about bathing in the Jamuna? The Jamuna is hardly even the Jamuna. It's just human waste, industrial waste. So as far as we're concerned, Vaishnavas, we should seek out sadhus, sarva siddhi hoy, by the association of a sadhu, all perfection can be attained. And one that Srila Prabhupada quoted a lot, lavanyam keshadharanam, someone will be considered to be very beautiful. Lavanyam is a certain type of beauty. Keshadharanam, the way that he decorates his hair. It's both men and women. And even in our Krishna consciousness movement, we see sometimes someone thinks that they're going to look very nice if their hair is long, there's hair on their face, if they've got dreadlocks or sikas down their back. So many different types of perceptions of what's attractive when, of course, we know that we have shaved heads, small sikas, in the manner that we learned from Srila Prabhupada. And of course, what to speak of women. We have one style that we see, and that is braided hair. Whenever we see pictures of Krishna's associates, be they elder gopis, younger gopis, they have braided hair. And sometimes it can be one braid, and I've also read that it is two braids. But that's it. That's the eternal style of wearing hair. And of course, in our society, I mean the greater society, but even in Krishna conscious society, so we often see that men follow the latest trend. You cut the hair short, you cut the hair long, you have a ponytail, comb on the right side, you comb on the left side, so many variations. But beauty is not in the eyes of the beholder. Beauty is in what Krishna considers to be beautiful, and therefore we follow the tradition of Vaishnavism and Vedic culture. Filling the belly will be the goal of life. It isn't the pancipation, it's the goal of life. It's not purifying the heart. It's not going back home, back to Godhead, but rather, as one saying goes, if a man looks down and he can't see his feet, then his life's successful. But eating is not a mark of success. In fact, we see that those who are spiritually advanced often forego eating, or they decrease their eating, and they learn to avoid filling their belly even when they do eat, because it's healthier and more conducive towards spiritual life. And one who's audacious will be accepted as truthful. People argue. People argue about so many things, and as long as I'm arguing my opinion, whether I'm right or wrong, I will continue to argue that. The real example of argument being equivalent to truth is one of the most popular professions today, which is that of lawyers. And just consider a lawyer is a person who represents someone in court. Generally, there are two opposing opinions in such court cases, and both are represented by lawyers, and both the lawyers are trying to prove that their side is truthful, their side is right. But both can't be right. One is right and one is wrong. But it's immaterial whether something is really right or really wrong. What really counts is whether a lawyer can twist the truth, can argue and convince others that he's right. If he can, then that becomes the truth. And why? Because truth is no longer something that descends, that we accept as descending from some absolute truth, from some absolute source, but truth is something that comes as a result of our own speculation, our own argument, and that person who can argue the best, then he can establish his truth, that is, until someone else will defeat him and with another truth. And he who can maintain a family will be regarded as an expert man. So expertise, success, and this echoes from what we read yesterday, is a material achievement. If you have a nice house, if you have a nice car, if your family is well off, if everyone's nice dressed, then you must be very expert. This is the sign of not only success, but this is the sign of expertise. What the quality of your life is, how happy you are, you understand about yourself and the purpose of life, those things are immaterial. And whereas some people used to only have the very, very basic necessities of life, but they may be looked down as being unsuccessful or a failure. So in Kali Yuga, people are not used to being satisfied with their fate. Everyone wants more and more and more. It's not that my karma may be different than someone else's, and therefore I can't have what other people have, or that the winds of fate are such that sometimes one has good facilities and sometimes one loses them. Here's a nice example of Draupadi. She was the empress of the world and had unimaginable comforts, just in a twinkling of an eye, she lost it all, and she was sleeping on the ground out in the forest. Same for Sita Devi. And they never complained. They just accepted that. Why? Because how hard you may want to maintain your family, time may not agree with you. Your destiny may not agree with what you consider to be direction that it should take. And therefore, real expertise is not in these superficial things, but is how tolerant one is, how broad-minded one is, how one can accept all kinds of circumstances and all kinds of reverses, and live with one's own quota without over-endeavoring in order to perfect one's goal of life. But something that we as devotees need to consider really carefully, especially young devotees. I often advise them in that way. Don't make too grandiose plans of what you want in terms of being this facility and that house and so many other things. First, make sure that you have full facility for practicing spiritual life, for advancing in spiritual life. Arrange your life around that priority. And then, if you're working, then adjust your work in such a way, or do that type of work that you can adjust in such a way that the balance of your time that facilitates your spiritual life is when you work. And if out of that you live like Sudama Vipra, then live like Sudama Vipra. And if you live like Yudhisthira Maharaj, then live like Yudhisthira Maharaj. That will be determined by your karma, by your ability. Never sacrifice spiritual values and spiritual perfection. And the last thing, principles of religion will be observed only for the sake of reputation. People don't care about the real purpose of religion, the content of religion. They need to be appear religious. What's your religion? I'm such and such. What do you know about it? I don't know anything. If you read your scriptures, probably not much. And we also have that saying, I'm also a devotee. What makes you a devotee? You're chanting 16 rounds, following regulative principles, or is it because you've done that in the past, or you have some kind of affiliation with Krishna consciousness, or I feel myself to be a devotee? No, here Bhagavatam says, this is not just from some kind of externals, but it's the real substance. And being really religious means strictly following religious principles, strictly following the scriptures. So Prabhupada would talk about other religions. No harm that they're following that, but then they should really follow. Just a matter of making a show, but really doing it. And this is what Rupa Goswami also talks about, Niyamagraha. Following rules and regulations, following the process, without actually really understanding their purpose, their content, without really being devoted to those, and really seeking out religion or spiritual life as a sadhana, as a means to attain an end, a sadhana for which I'm willing to sacrifice all other things in order to go back home, back to Godhead. So Kali Yuga undermines us in so many ways. Shadu Shabdan, we need to be extremely careful lest we become victimized. And once again, what is our protection? Harinama Eva Kevalam.